Boy, watch out, watch out. I had an interesting experience myself this morning. How about you in regards to driving and walking? I'll give you the little story here. I have a long driveway, and I said, I am not going to walk on that driveway. So I got in the car, and I drove to the newspaper mailbox, and I picked up the paper and drove back into the garage. And in that time, it was raining ice. And when I left for work, my windshield was frozen in regards to the rain that had fallen on it. It had frozen. So it took a while to get the old defroster to work. And boy, today, compared to back when I was a teenager, defrosters are really better. So anyhow, I got out on County Road 20 and did a little wiggle-waggle, and the car was coming up the hill that I didn't see until it got to the precipice, and that individual slowed down to about 25, 30 miles per hour. And it was like that all the way in. And I'm not the only one that has had an experience with today's President Day weather. My guest this morning evidently was driving into Minnesota from... Well, let's find out. Good morning, Paul Baumeister.
Good morning.
It is good to have you in the studio again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah. You got the day off.
I do.
Now, that is because you work for a governmental organization?
That is correct.
And that would be the Dakota County District Attorney's Office.
Yes.
All right. Where you said that you walked here today, and
you
got here right at 9 o'clock.
That's when you told me to be here.
Yeah. How far is that walk?
Not that very far. A mile and a half, 2 miles. So.
Are you serious? A mile and a half? How was the sidewalks or the streets?
Slippery.
Yeah.
Very slippery.
Were you worried? Did you fall?
No, I just went very slowly.
Okay. Did you wear special footwear?
Boots.
Okay, I see that. All right.
And they were made for walking.
Yeah. Hey, these boots were made for walking. Nancy Sinatra, 1966. At 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, I invited Paul Baumeister to be my guest here this morning. I haven't seen him for quite a while, and I know that I was really interested when I ran into you at the grocery store. My interest is the difference between Rice County and Dakota County in the DA's office because of the population, and I would assume that there's a lot more people going through the court system in Dakota County than in Rice County.
The volume is much higher.
And I want long answers, okay?
Long answers, we have a large volume and more divisions of attorneys, what they do. The labor is divided a lot more, whereas in small counties like Rice County, you have to be a jack of all trades and be able to do A to Z in the county attorney's office. In Dakota, you can specialize.
Okay. Now, how many assistants did you have when you were district attorney in Rice County? And what did you serve, about 8 or 12 years? 8 years?
Almost 16 years.
16? Oh, yeah. My gosh. Time, you still look great, man.
Thank you. So do you.
The last time I saw you, other than what I just mentioned, you were wearing a gas mask.
I don't remember why I was wearing a gas mask.
You were wearing a gas mask and a bioprotective uniform.
Where was that at?
At Lakeville.
Oh, at the parade, yes.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Come up and start talking to me. I go, who is this weird guy with a white suit and bio gloves and boots and then a gas mask? And your job was to clean up after the Raiders' horses.
Yes, we were taking care of biohazards.
Yeah, that was funny. Here's the county attorney doing that. How did you get connected to the Lakeville Parade?
I've been doing that since high school.
Really?
Yes, a good friend of mine is oftentimes involved with Panaprog. In fact, he's been involved since high school with Panaprog.
Good for him.
He's been president and the parade chair for years.
Maybe and perhaps we could have him as a guest on KYMN.
You would find Dan Pellinen very interesting.
We'll get a number from you.
I will. He's an architect. He comes down here for the Defeat of Jesse James Day's parade. He tries to pick up units.
Oh yeah, what Paul means when he says that is that you go to other parades and check them out, and the first thing you ask them is, how much does it cost to have your unit come to our parade, or it's going to cost you this much to be in our parade.
I'm glad you clarified that. It sounded, after I listened to it, it sounded a little nefarious what he was doing, picking up units. But
yeah, well, yeah, I don't. Units mean something different than
yes.
What I'm thinking. Paul Bowmeister is my guest here this morning on KYMN Radio. Are you a NASCAR fan?
Well, I watch it.
Okay.
Fair weather fan. If it's on, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Did you watch it yesterday?
No, I did not. I was driving from Iowa.
From Iowa, and why were you in Iowa?
My son, Jack Bowmeister, was competing in regions for mock trial, college mock trial.
Oh, that had to be fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Wow. Did you get a chance to mingle with other parents?
Oh, yeah.
And did they know that you have a little bit of experience?
I don't know.
didn't you ever, in your conversation, I'm a... AD, would you call yourself an AD?
County attorney.
Yeah. Okay. ACA.
Wayne, that's like one of my least favorite subjects to talk about myself.
Oh. Well, that.
So this is going to be a long morning for you.
No. That's, you know what? I'll tell you something. One of the nice things about this show is an opportunity to talk about yourself because I'm asking the questions. You don't go out in society like you're suggesting and say, oh, hey, listen, I'm the county attorney for Dakota County. You don't do that. But if somebody says, what do you do for a living? And you say, I'm a DA.
I usually say I'm a prosecutor.
A prosecutor? What's the difference?
Well, it's more of the role that I play in the court system.
So you're the bad guy?
No, I wear the white hat. I'm always looking for truth and justice.
Well, a prosecutor is... trying to prosecute somebody, so they're usually considered the bad guy in the realm of the bad guys.
Maybe I guess I'll challenge you a little bit on that.
Okay,
I have found at least the professional criminals respect that I have a job to do and know that it's nothing personal. So I don't know that they blame me for holding them accountable for their actions. There are some people that, you know, they get a speeding ticket, it's the cop's fault.
Yeah.
Or the prosecutor's fault. But I think many people can realize that, you know what, I'm being held accountable for my actions, for what I did.
Well, I do have a story. I did have to appear in court at Dakota County for something a cop said I did, a Dakota County Sheriff's. I had had experience in Rice County with a ticket that I got on my motorcycle. And I went down and that one, and I argued my case. And the prosecuting attorney said, Your Honor, he's not following procedure or something like that. And the judge said, well, you know, just let him tell his story and all that. And in the end, I was found not guilty by Judge Gerald Wolf, and the highway patrolman that had given me the ticket was a great big guy, and he sat in this witness stand, and I got to cross-examine him, or however you say it, and anyhow, it turns out later on, 10 years later, the same guy was in charge of safety or of some sort, and they had a project going down on Bridge Square. And he was the kind of the highway patrolman guy that was, you know, doing the show. And I walked up to him and I says, you may not remember me, but you gave me a ticket on my motorcycle. He looks at me. He said, yeah, I remember that. We were in court. And I said, yes. And I said, I got to tell you something. You know what made me go to court? and fight this ticket? What? I says, when you looked at my driver's license, you said, hey, we have the same birth date, except I'm a lot younger. And I was probably pushing 40 at that time. So I thought, well, hit. But anyhow, I did survive that.
Well, that's what courts are for. And, you know, having litigation is not a bad thing. People should, you know, if they believe that they were right in what they did and weren't guilty of committing a crime, they should go to trial.
And I don't know if you remember this, but there was a kid that lived on the west side, and he would blow the stop sign on St. Olaf, I think it is. And he got a ticket. And so what he did is he set up a video recorder and videotaped police cars, etc., blowing that stop sign. And went to court, argued before, I don't know, you probably weren't the DA at the time. And were you?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, well, I know. Okay. Anyhow, the judge dismissed the ticket, and they pulled the stop sign. That's quite a few years ago. But he was a kid from high school. I thought that was pretty good.
That is good.
Paul, I'm doing most of the talking, and I want you to do most of the talking.
I like listening to you, Wayne. There's nothing wrong with you talking. And well, you are a professional at it. You do a very good job of talking.
Well, thank you. Here's a question I have now. If you just tuned in, Paul Bollmeister is my guest. He is the assistant Dakota County prosecuting guy. And oh, by the way, you don't get to judge things. You either defend or prosecute, right?
I never defend. I only prosecute.
You never have been I thought that's where the money is.
Maybe, but I'm much more comfortable being a prosecutor.
Okay. Have you ever had something to eat at the quarterback club?
Yes, I have.
And what do you generally order?
I will get their chicken.
Yeah, roasted chicken, the best in town.
Especially on Thursdays, third Thursdays. Let's see, I've had their breakfast.
Oh, yeah, man. Did you ever
eggs and hash browns.
And it's so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so inexpensive.
It is definitely inexpensive. It's a great place to go.
All right, and ever take home chicken to the family?
Absolutely.
And a big coleslaw and French fries. Have you ever tried their baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness oozing all over them in the form of a barbecue sauce you've never tasted?
I have. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. I tried those out. They're very good. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, my guest this morning is Paul Bollmeister. Master.
It's Bollmeister. Baumeisters, though, when they came over here.
Baumeister. Okay. So when I say that, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. There's actually tombstones that have both on them.
Okay. Where?
Down in Iowa.
Okay. What part of Iowa?
A little place called Elma, Iowa.
Elma?
Elma.
Well, I don't know where that is.
It's middle of nowhere.
So I'm going down 35.
You would have to head way east. It's a little north of Waterloo, eastern Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch Waterloo television when you were a kid growing up?
No, I did not. I lived up here. I grew up in Minnesota.
In Lakeville?
In Lakeville, yes.
Okay. Did you play any sports in Lakeville?
I ran cross country, and I swam, and I ran track.
Okay. Now, one of the questions I've come up with since we last talked, and this is great because you'll never discuss it under normal circumstances, okay? Let's talk swimming. All right. What do you remember most about swimming, whether it was a win or a loss or a tie or a freaky thing? But in swimming, what's that thing that you'll never forget?
Well, you mean in competitive swimming?
Yeah.
I would have to say tapering.
And that means?
When you are at the end of your season and you start to rest up and shave down and get ready to have your championship part of your season. That experience when I first did it, I thought was the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And that now looking back at it, I still think swimming is nuts.
Well, I often wondered about that, but I think it might be a sight thing. And in Olympics, it might be that 1/100th of a second of no drag, whatever. And that was when I think Skip Boyum might have been the swimming coach here in Northfield.
We competed against Skip's teams a lot.
And how did you do individually and team-wise?
We did pretty well. Lakeville had a lot of good swimmers. I wasn't among them. I was a hack.
Did you have a specialty, like in a relay?
I swam whatever they put me in. I was a utility swimmer. They could throw me in just about any event.
And which was your favorite that you feel you were best at?
I don't feel I was very good at any of them.
Well, if the guys are, he says, you can swim one of these four, which one do you want to swim?
I probably lean more towards distance.
Okay. So now let's go over to track. And what did you do in track?
Events, again, I was kind of a utility runner. I did everything from steeplechase to the quarter. Wasn't much of a sprinter. Did the half. Ran behind John Tuma quite a bit.
Did you ever compete at the events they hold at the end of the season at St. Olaf?
Yeah, we did actually indoor track at the Carlton track here when it was underneath the stadium there, the little oval track they had down there. Yeah. And, we had a lot of good runners in Lakeville as well. Cross country, we also, we'd be state teams. We'd be at state and competitive.
Now, did your team ever win a state title?
No, well, the year after I graduated, they got first. They got third my senior year. So, okay. And the year before, we were fifth, I think. And the year before that, we were, I think, fourth.
Okay. Did they pass out ribbons for first, second, and third?
Oh, yeah, I got a medal. I
you
have a
still
state
have
medal.
It?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is it in like a little drawer or a box somewhere that you look at every once in a while and say, oh, yeah.
I couldn't probably locate it right now.
Okay. All right. So that's swimming, cross country, and what else did you say?
Track. Track was
okay.
We see a lot of memorable things in track. Well, I loved running track.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, I ran everything, like I said, from steeplechase to the quarter mile. I always enjoyed the team that I ran with, and the people that I swam with I enjoyed too. So that really made the being in sports, for me special, is the people I was running with and swimming with.
What is a steeplechase?
That's where you have steeples rather than hurdles. They're very solid. They don't fall down. You hit one of those, you're probably not going to get right back up. And there's also a water hazard that you have to leap over. And good steeplechasers usually have one shoe wet. I'd oftentimes be wet, like, up to my chest.
Did you ever try, the shot put or the discus or, just to see if you realized you didn't have, that you did have the ability to throw it?
I actually, in 7th, 8th grade, would try to do those things. It didn't go well.
I used to play marbles with shot puts.
Oh, yeah. You can't lose that way.
No. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and my guest this morning is Paul Bowmaster, and he is the former Rice County District Attorney, and now he is a prosecutor for Dakota County. One of the things that I noticed about your job, not when you were there, when I went up there for, I'll tell you the story. Do you remember when Highway 3 was being reconstructed totally? Well, every morning I would go out to the radio station, which, of course, was on 320th Street out in Waterford, and I couldn't go that way. I had to go 19 to Canada Road. And so maybe once or twice a week I would go out there. Now, this is 5:30 in the morning. So I drive out there. And I get past the Dairy Queen, and I'm going north, and I turn into the Northfield Ballroom parking lot. And I'm turning around, and then as I'm ready to go back down Highway 3 to 19 and go in from the south, here comes a highway patrolman. And this is 5:30 in the morning. Okay.
And suspicious activity.
Okay. Okay, now I get it. Okay, now I get it. What's a guy doing?
Coming out of the ballroom, 5:30 in the morning.
Actually, it was the John Deere dealership.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't over in the ballroom. But
even more suspicious.
Yes, okay, I get it now. All right. Well, I forgive him now. But anyhow, as he comes in and he puts his lights on, like just for 2 seconds, just to say, stay here. Okay. So then he comes up to the car, and he was not in a good mood. And he was giving...
It was 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And, you know, well, what are you doing driving? Can't you read a sign? Blah, 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 blah. I said, what I'm doing is I work for KYMN Radio here in Northfield. And what I'm doing is I'm checking out the progress of the Highway 3 redo. And I pass that information along to my listeners in the event that you can go that way or whatever. Okay, uh-huh, and he's writing out a ticket. And he hands me a ticket, and I, what is this for? And he says, no seatbelt. I said, what? He said, no seatbelt. I said, I had my seatbelt on. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. And he said, no, you didn't. And I said, well, how would you know? How would you know? You're coming towards me, and I'm facing you. Your lights are on. My lights are on. You can't see into the car face to face. And I took it off after you hit the lights there. I stopped, and I took the seatbelt off because I know I had to reach for my wallet. He gave me the ticket. Okay, here's the purpose of the story, Paul. Now, I had been in Rice County, and you can hear echoes in there. Not a whole lot of activity, comparatively speaking. I walked up to the Dakota thing. Who was I talking to when they basically were trying to negotiate a situation before you actually got a trial? Okay, that's, you got the floor.
The prosecutor. Before
you answer that, let me take care of some people that are very, very nice. They are sponsors of the Wayne.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
The producer bringing grain to the elevator, the farmer buying herbicide, the family filling up with gas. As a cooperative, we work together to help you succeed. The River Country Co-op works to make an impact in the community. This National FFA Week, River Country Co-op would like to salute all the farmers and future generations we depend on. River Country Co-op in Randolph, Kenyon, Hastings, Lakeville, Montgomery, and St. Paul. Working together to help you succeed.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
9:28 is the time. And by the way, in the event, Paul, that you play, we do archive this and you can copy it. If you listen to this, or your grandkids listen to this, and eventually, this is February the 19th, and the year is 2018. And Paul Bowmaster walked to the studios this morning because there was ice on the roads and on the sidewalks. But he did not fall, and he got here safely. Okay,
Did have a few slips.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
How about... Oh, wait. Keep cool.
Kept my coffee, though.
Yeah. So when I was up at the Dakota County thing, number one, it was really, really busy. And I think I was not at the courthouse in Hastings. I think they have one in Lakeville.
Apple Valley.
Apple Valley, okay. And I just couldn't, I was not overwhelmed, but I just went, wow, there are a lot of people here. And when it came to this ticket on the seatbelt thing, I had to talk to somebody, and it was a woman that was sitting at a desk and basically said, do you want to go further with this, you know, because I want to talk about this seatbelt thing. And she just told me to go someplace else and wait. And then I talked to somebody about it, and maybe I was talking to a secretary or a clerk, and then she sent me to a prosecutor. And I told him my whole story, and he said, well, we can dismiss that if you go to court, but if you want to just not fight it, it's going to cost you $35 or whatever the number was. And I thought, you know, looking around the courthouse and all that stuff, I'm going to fight it, you know, because I'm right and they're wrong. So he said, all right, and then he came back. I'm talking a half hour later, comes back and said, we're going to dismiss your ticket. Now, where did he go and make that decision? a little in office, and he's got a stack of cases, and he says, oh, let's slur this.
Sometimes we'll call the officer and say, you know, this is what the guy says.
Okay.
He says he had his belt on. He said it was dark. He couldn't have possibly seen. He said he took it off, get his driver's license for you. Is this a possibility? And if the officer says, he might have. You know, okay. Then we'll come dismiss.
So I'm batting 1,000 in Rice County and Dakota County.
Excellent.
All right. Can you hire me as your assistant?
No, you're on the wrong side at that point. You need to be a defense attorney.
Okay. You watch Judge Judy?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't watch a lot of legal shows.
Okay. And I was going to say, in that regards, I was going on about how busy Dakota County is. Was that, I'm sure that you've been in their system as a Rice County working together and all that. But was the workload, the number of cases, and the way they do things totally different than Rice County and a lot more, obviously?
Higher volume, for sure. The systems and procedures were obviously different. They differ from all 87 counties. Their electronic systems that they use are a lot different. There's basics that are similar, and obviously the rules apply statewide, the rules of criminal procedure, rules of evidence. So those are all the same. It's just more of the administrative functions of prosecuting that are different, and how cases are processed through the system are different. The bench is very different, too, the judges and how they operate. There's a lot more of them. I'm still meeting new judges up there every now and then that rotate in from different counties and stuff. So that's very different when you have a finite pool of judges, of two or three judges that you see all the time, versus a bench that is pretty deep.
Did you have any people that you were familiar with when you went in there?
As far as...
Judges or other prosecuting attorneys, defense attorneys?
I knew a few of the judges. And defense attorneys, I definitely see some that I would also see in Rice County, as well as prosecutors. I knew quite a few of them as well.
When you were in Rice County, Paul, Paul Bollmeister is my guest, and he's a former Rice County DA. When you were... A DA for 12 years.
16, almost.
Or excuse me, I get stuck on that. 16 years. Was that kind of a fresh start for you? Kind of like, well, this is in my lifetime. Now I'm going to go up to a much busier county, and this is okay, and I got the job and all that?
Yeah, I had come from kind of the polar opposite county in Isani County when I was an assistant up there. I did about the same things that I did in Rice County. So going to Dakota was actually kind of a big move.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it, and it's been very rewarding being up
in Dakota. What are some of the communities in Isani County?
Cambridge, Isani, Bram.
Bram, yeah.
They have Bram Pie Days.
Yeah. My wife had a new car, and the engine blew up right there in Bram.
Oh, okay.
She had to bring it into a dealer and rent a car, that's why I remember that place.
Yeah, so, yeah, Bram and Cambridge and Isani are kind of the big cities. Not big, but the cities.
What were as a prosecutor in Isani County, what was the most common thing that you had to prove to the judge or jury?
We had a lot of DWIs off of Highway 65. So we'd see those cases quite a bit. And the county did a lot of the prosecuting for a lot of the jurisdictions. The cities of Isani and Cambridge had city attorneys, but Bram doesn't, and so they'd get a lot of those cases.
So when you get somebody that has a DUI, what percentage will plead guilty as compared to those that want to fight it?
It's a pretty high percentage these days because of the tests that we have now. Also, you know, given that refusal is a crime as well in the state of Minnesota now.
Explain that.
If you refuse to take a test, that's a crime.
A blow test or a
blood test.
Blood test.
Or urine test. You have three options. And with some recent Supreme Court decisions.
What are the three options?
You can do a breath test, blood test, or a urine test.
One or the other?
Yes.
Okay.
Recently, there's been some litigation, though, regarding whether or not you can request somebody to take a test or you need a search warrant. And that went actually out of Dakota County up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Kathy Keenan, the criminal division head, argued that before the Supreme Court. And Minnesota's case, which was breath, won, that you can request that is a circumstance that is reasonable, but if you're going to require blood or urine, you have to get a search warrant. And now we have electronic search warrants on a statewide system that has actually made it much easier to obtain those search warrants in a timely manner so that you don't lose the evidence of what the blood alcohol level is within a two-hour range. And
Is it the court system that decides or the actual individual that gets to choose one of the three?
With the warrant, the police are saying we want either blood or urine. They'll give a person an option, but they will take blood if you do not wish to give a sample at that point.
Okay.
By getting the warrant system in place, it's really taken away that need for that instantaneous decision. Are you going to, you know, go get a warrant or not? Because we can now electronically ask for a warrant, fill it out on the computer in the squad car, send it to a assigned judge in the district. They'll sign it electronically and send it back to the officer.
Instead of going to his house at 2 o'clock in the morning and knocking on the door.
Exactly. And that piggybacked on our e-charging system, and that is, I think, one of the things that puts our criminal justice system head and shoulders above others, not just in the United States but the world, is we have e-charging, which is really an impressive move towards use of technology.
E-charging,
electronic charging. We no longer, you know, shuffle paper back and forth. We can sit at our computers, type up our reports from the police car, ship it to the prosecutor, who then puts it into a complaint format, sends it to the judge and the officer. The officer reviews it, signs it. Prosecutor signs it electronically, goes to the judge, signs it electronically, and we can get people arraigned a lot quicker and move through our system faster.
And so,
and you're not duplicating reentry of all that information.
Do most people get put in the Dakota County jail system overnight or for several days, or do they get to call their wife or their mother and ask to be picked up?
We do set bail, so it's not just calling to ask to be picked up. It's bring bail money or get a bail bondsman.
Do they take cash?
Yeah. Cash is always acceptable tender.
Do they take checks?
I don't think they will take a check.
Okay. So you better have cash or
most people use a bonding company.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are the bonding companies? What is the deal on that bonding company that comes in and says, let's say the bail is, just for the fun of it, $1,000. And they come in, and is it like a loan office, and they loan you $1,000? How does that work?
They will put up a bond that can be forfeited for that amount, $1,000. So that if you don't show up, the bail's forfeited. $1,000 goes to the state general fund.
Okay.
You pay, every bonding company can set whatever they want, but typically it's 10%, so you'd pay $100 for that $1,000 bond.
Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. I don't imagine most people carry $1,000 on them, so if they did bail out with cash, I would imagine that you'd say, check that person out for drug sales or something.
Well, in the drug cases I deal with, it's oftentimes cash payments.
Yeah. We're talking to Paul Bowmaster, and he is the in the county attorney's office in Dakota County after being the Rice County District Attorney for 16 years. And Paul is a very nice guy, and you owe me.
I do. Keep telling you. Give me a call.
Yeah. Do you recall what event we were at?
I do not.
I think it might have been the Northfield Historical Society or the Rice County Historical Society. And you offered up 2 hours of your time to people that want to bid on it. And so I got into a bidding war with somebody, and I won. And so for years now, when I see Paul, he says, what? You want me to do my 2 hours? And I think, yeah. And then I never think of you when I got to do a project that I don't want to do.
You are the only one that has never collected on that.
And
I have gone and done other people's 2 hours work for them. So.
Well, when I invited you to join me today, you said, what, you need your gutters cleaned?
That's yeah. I wasn't sure what you
Yeah, I don't have gutters anymore. I do not have gutters anymore. I can't get up that ladder and do it myself, and it's an easy job,
shouldn't.
But yeah. Paul Bowmaster, let me ask you this question, if I may. Of all the 16 years that you spent at Rice County as a district attorney, some cases that you prosecuted were pretty simple, and some of them probably required time and effort. And two things. Number one, what case do you remember that you lost? That you go, there goes a murderer, there goes a child molester, there goes a drunk driver. What one stands out in your mind for Rice County?
For Rice County, I would have to say it was a third-degree homicide case where the person who supplied the drugs to the person who OD'd was not held accountable for that.
Was not held accountable.
Was not.
Okay. Let's go through, we all have watched television shows, and I don't know about you, but when I watch a movie or a television show that has something to do with the radio announcer sitting at what we call the board and pushing all the buttons and talking and all that, I laugh sometimes because it's unreal what they're showing on the film, you know. And, for example, the VU meter here will bounce into the red all the way. Well, you don't do that. You want to keep it right about into the red. So
keeping it out of the red?
Well, it can bounce into the red, but it can't, be in there constantly. It overmodulates.
Oh, okay.
See, if I take this and I put it up here, see how I'm doing this again.
There.
Gotta
That's kind of
right.
a nice sound.
Yeah. Okay. So my question is, we all watch the lawyer stuff on television. My question is, do you ever sit in front of the TV and laugh?
Well, I don't watch that many lawyer shows, but when I do, or if my wife's watching them, I do get a chuckle out of it. Cases never go the way you see on TV. I always tell people they're a little more dry. Sometimes closings can be a little more dramatic, because that is the time the lawyers get to argue the case and argue the facts. But when you're putting facts in, it's a pretty straightforward process of asking questions, kind of like what we're doing in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this may be compelling radio, but I don't know if it'd make compelling TV.
Oh, yeah, well, based on my looks, I suppose. We're going to take another break and be right back.
Wanamingo Mutual Insurance Agency in Wanamingo would like to salute the Kenyan Wanamingo FFA chapter during National FFA Week. FFA encourages wise management of economic, environmental, and human resources of the community. Visit with Bonnie about her good insurance rates. She can save you money and is happy to give you an estimate for all your insurance needs. Contact the Wanamingo Mutual Insurance Agency in Wanamingo.
FFA and agriculture education provide a strong foundation for young people. As we celebrate National FFA Week, Syngenta Seeds of Stanton salutes the Randolph FFA chapter. FFA has focused on one mission, student success. Amazing teachers, integrated education, and exposure to real-world careers make it possible. Syngenta Seeds is happy to be associated with FFA Week. Syngenta Seeds, a new global business dedicated solely to agribusiness, located in Stanton. For all your seed needs and crop protection, contact your Syngenta dealer.
Attorney Franklin D. Peterson in Kenyon hopes you can take in the big Carriage and Cutter Day Parade this Saturday in Kenyon. The day's activities will begin at 8 o'clock with softball and basketball tournaments. There will be a petting zoo for the kids from 10 to 1 and many other activities throughout the day. And of course, the big parade is at 1:30. Check out the Kenyon Park and Rec Facebook page for a full schedule. Attorney Franklin D. Peterson, General Practitioner of Law, can help you with estates, trusts, probate, and real estate law.
The Craig Keller Insurance Agency hopes you can take in the annual Carriage and Cutter Day Parade this Saturday in Kenyon. There will be 80 or more units in the parade and around 300 horses. There's something for the entire family this Saturday in Kenyon. Life, auto, home, business, or ranch, Craig Keller Insurance Agency can help you find the right policies at the right price and save you money. Contact Craig today at 507-334-6550. The Craig Keller Insurance Agency.
This Saturday, the place to be is Kenyon for the annual Sleigh and Cutter Parade. There are festivities all day long, starting in the morning with a 5K walk or run. Registration's at 9:45, race time's at 11. And the big parade's at 1:30, featuring over 100 horse-drawn entries. Then step inside the Muni and try their $15 large pizza and beer special. That goes from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then starting at 8:30, they have a DJ at the Muni. For a complete list of activities, check out the cityofkenyon.com website or go to KYMN's calendar of events page.
I'm back, live and in color, on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, and Paul and I were talking about a subject that we might get into a little bit later on, but my question had been, what was the case that you lost, and you said it was a third-degree murder. Let's go. Are counties, states different in regards to degree of murder or death in a case?
Homicide in general is, you know, just the wrongful taking of a life. So, I mean, state to state, that doesn't really change. Degrees change. Some states have heat of passion defense. Some have defense of the castle defense. Defense of your home. That changes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But within the state of Minnesota, it's pretty much, you know, dictated by statute. It is dictated by statute. So it doesn't change within the state of Minnesota.
So tell me about first-degree murder, where the cops feel they got a really good case, and then the prosecutor says, you know what, we don't want to let this guy go, and maybe we should drop that to second-degree murder. His lawyer has approached me on a guilty plea. Do the cops get a little ticked off?
It depends on the facts of the case, obviously. And, you know, the difference between a first and a second degree, I mean, with first degree, you're going to spend the rest of your life incarcerated. It can definitely irritate an investigator or a police department when they put a lot of resources into a case and then they feel that it was, you know, bargained away. But, you know, typically a prosecutor will have a conversation with the investigators and officers and the family of the victim and discuss with them, you know, the pros and cons of any given case. Again, the facts of the case usually drive those discussions more than anything else. And, you know, the ability to prove your case beyond a reasonable doubt oftentimes is, you know, one witness's testimony or one piece of evidence. And depending on, you know, what happens at a contested omnibus hearing where something may be suppressed or somebody's testimony thrown out, you know, those are the risks you take in litigation. And even with a jury of 12 people, when you present those facts, somebody on that jury may say, you know, I'm just not convinced beyond a reasonable doubt. I have a doubt, and it's reasonable. So the vagaries of litigation sometimes makes that plea bargain, and I'm using air quotes here, because I don't know that it's necessarily a bargain to plead to a second-degree murder either.
Yeah.
You can still do a lot of time with a second-degree murder, depending on your criminal history score.
What about a third? Is that like 22 years? Or?
Well, that in the state of Minnesota, we have sentencing guidelines. Yeah. And with sentencing guidelines,
is that good?
I think sentencing guidelines are very good in that they allow people to look and decide, am I being treated fairly? Can I look at the grid, look at my criminal history points, look at what the severity level is, and say, that's where I should be?
But they have a point where you can't go more years, even if you wanted to?
No, you can get... The guidelines are kind of the starting point. You can always have aggravating factors, and if the judge or the jury has to find the aggravating factors first, but then the judge can, based on those findings, sentence somebody to a greater sentence than what is called for in the guidelines. So, and there's also mitigating circumstances in cases where you can argue for a downward departure from the guidelines.
Okay.
So it goes either way, and within that box, there's 20 to 15% leeway from the middle of the box up and down. So it gives a judge discretion still to sentence within that. But at least you know, even victims appreciate knowing, okay, this guy's getting what he should get. This person is being held accountable and being sentenced to the appropriate box. They get a little testy when you go outside of that box or go above it, because then people are saying, hey, is that fair? And that's where having those mitigating factors on a departure slip makes a difference, where the judge has to make those reasons, you know, state those reasons on the record that they're going up or down and why they're doing what they're doing.
Well, you hear the occasional, I would like to sentence you to more years, but unfortunately I'm limited by the guideline.
Which is true, unless you can find an aggravating factor.
Okay.
And, you know, people are like, well, it's a murder. Well, that's... In the guideline, that's what he's being sentenced for, murder. So why was this a worse second-degree homicide? Well, they tortured the person, or they humiliated them, or whatever it was, or it was in their zone of privacy. And then the judge can depart. But if those aren't there, you are kind of stuck with the guidelines.
Have you ever prosecuted somebody in a premeditated murder?
Yes.
And what was that about?
Premeditated murder.
Well, I mean, was it usually their family, you know?
No, this was one of the first cases when I got here.
Really?
I had three homicides sitting on my desk when I arrived.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So.
Tell me about them.
The defendant.
I mean,
was
it's all
arrested.
Public, right? I mean,
yeah, it is. I don't like talking for victims' families. I don't like.
We aren't going to mention names.
Yeah. The defendant in that case, though, was basically a drug dealer looking for revenge, and he couldn't find the guy that he wanted revenge on, so he found the guy's brother.
Oh, that's first, right?
Yes.
All right. How about the other one?
You
said you had three of them sitting on your desk.
Those were the three individuals that were involved in that.
Okay.
And actually, I had four because I had another case where a woman was killed out of 3M. And her body was dumped off here.
Out at 3M, then become Right Way Packaging?
No. She was murdered in
Oh.
Another jurisdiction brought down here.
I remember that. I remember that. And did you prosecute, was it before or during your 16 years, the two murders on the Dundas exit of 35, one being a Rice County deputy with the kid that stole a car and rammed into him and killed him, and then the other one on the other side, the northbound exit, lovers planned and murdered the woman's husband.
I litigated the end of those two cases in the appellate courts.
Okay. Were they held during the before the first trial and until the appellate court?
Yes. Both are still in prison. One now, I think it was there was another appeal that was still going on when I left regarding the sheriff's deputy.
What is the appeal procedure? I mean, how many do you get? You hear the and they ran out of appeals.
You know, when you're doing life, you can always come up with a reason to appeal, whether you're successful or not. I have a gentleman in Dakota County now that I've been assigned to do all his appeals. He's up at the Supreme Court now petitioning.
In Minnesota or
the U.S. Supreme Court. Wow. He just was rejected by the Eighth Circuit on his probably fourth writ of habeas corpus. So, you know, you can appeal all you want when you've got a lot of time on your hands. Unfortunately, it does take time and effort on the state's part to respond to those. And we can always hope sooner or later they get the message that there's nothing left here to discuss with the courts.
Paul, at 5 minutes before 10 o'clock, Paul Bowmaster is my guest this morning. He is a prosecuting attorney in Dakota County and a former district attorney, the main man here in Rice County. I'm familiar based on living in the same town and knowing people. And on a professional level, me being the defendant and winning. And so give me a comment about, if you will, some beloved people that were judges. And let's start with Tom Neville. I just had him on my show about 2 weeks ago.
He just retired. Well-deserved retirement. Tom was a great judge to work with. I worked with him when he was a legislator as well on projects. So I've always enjoyed working with Tom, and I look forward to seeing him around town more often in his retirement now.
Sometimes he has coffee down at the Hideaway with the boys. You ever go down to that?
I've had coffee down there with them on occasions, but I got to get to work.
You got to get up there. What time do you have to report to work? 8 or 9?
I usually try to get in about 7:30.
7:30?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like
it.
To get everything ready for the day. And
what time do you get out?
Depends on what's going on. If I'm in trial, it's usually much later.
Yeah.
6.
What about, in my opinion of Tom, just a sweet guy, but dead serious when he's in the well. I call it the well. Do you know anybody that calls it the well?
There's the well of the courtroom. I mean, he's on the bench. Where he sits is the bench looking down into the well.
Yeah. But before that, he was an attorney. A defense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. How about Bill Johnson? He seems like, to me, a nice guy. I played softball against him. And he seemed to be, pretty strict on the rules, but also compassionate.
I would agree with that. I did appreciate Judge Johnson. I not only appreciated his demeanor on the bench, but he also wrote very well. I may have disagreed with his opinions, but he wrote opinions that I understood why he got to where he got to, even if I disagreed with those.
Well, I have a great deal of respect for the next judge. And that's Judge Jerry Wolf. I just enjoyed the way he handles court. And I appeared before him once on that speeding ticket and won. And then I had a civil suit that was put against me, 11 charges. I countersued 3 charges. She lost all of them. I won. And on the counter, I won on that one. And Judge Wolf was the judge. And I liked the way he handled the court.
Because you won. No, I like Jerry as well. I just ran into him at Judge Neville's retirement. So it was good to see him. I was shocked that he was still on the bench. I thought he had stopped presiding on as a retired judge some time ago. But he said they pulled him back to cover till the new judge could start. So I got to talk with him, and I always enjoyed talking with Jerry. He's got some great stories.
Yeah. He's an ex-Marine, I believe.
Yes, and iron worker, and
yeah, I've invited him to be on the show, and he agreed to do that, but we never gotten together.
Oh, you'll have to get him on here. He's got great stories.
Yeah, it's 1.5 minutes before the news coming up next on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I do have to remind you of something: the future is now. Artificial machine intelligence is playing an ever greater role in our society. And Terry's guest on today's 15 with the author is Austin technologist and inventor Amir Hussein with his debut book, The Sentient Machine, The Coming Age of Artificial Intelligence, which poses the question, should artificial technology be feared or embraced? He discusses how AI can help with medical diagnosis and with a Bitcoin, what a Bitcoin is, and addresses the concerns of others in the technology sector, such as Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking, that have serious concerns about artificial intelligence. Could you tell I'm reading this?
Well, a little bit.
Okay. And by the way, that's at 11 o'clock this morning. And Tex Edwards, the EMS director, warns of slick roads and sidewalks, and they don't want to have to chase after you. Be very careful, particularly those that may be over 50. We'll take a break for the news. It's 10 o'clock. Pardon me?
That's you and me. We should be careful.
Are you over 50?
55.
Really? I imagine you've been solicited to join that club of old people. What's it called?
AARP?
Yeah. I said to myself when that first came out, I wonder what this is going to end up being. And it's a nonprofit, but boy, did they bring in the bucks. It's 10 o'clock. Time for the news here on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Student protests, federal background checks. I'm John Trout. In a message to politicians who receive campaign contributions from the NRA, a student survivor of the Florida school shooting speaks out.
We don't have jobs, so we can't pay for your campaign. We would hope that you have the decent morality to support us at this point.
Emma Gonzalez, part of a student group planning to march in Washington next month for stricter gun control. Donald Trump ran for president as a pro-gun candidate with ties to the National Rifle Association, but is now said to be supportive of efforts to improve the federal background check system.
Along the lines of the gun rights advocates' response that mass shootings, such as what happened in Parkland, Florida, are really mental health issues, the White House is out with a statement. Quote, the president spoke to Senator John Cornyn on Friday about the bipartisan bill he and Senator Chris Murphy introduced. While discussions are ongoing and revisions are being considered, the president is supportive of efforts to improve the federal background check system. End quote. President Trump is scheduled to host high school students for a listening session on Wednesday, though it's unclear if any from Parkland will attend. Activist students and parents there are calling for a ban on assault weapons. Bob Costantini, Washington.
A former Trump campaign aide is expected to plead guilty in the Russia investigation. More from correspondent Caitlin Collins.
The headlines from the LA Times reporting that former campaign aide Rick Gates is set to testify against the former campaign chairman Paul Manafort and will plead guilty to fraud-related charges within days.
Russian Olympic curler Alexander Krushelnitsky has failed a doping test at the Winter Olympics. A Russian curling official laments that someone could have spiked his food as he tested clean a month ago. Syrian opposition activists say government airstrikes and the shelling of rebel-held eastern suburbs of Damascus have killed at least 18 people. Syrian state TV reported rebels fired mortars, wounding 8 people. I'm John Trout.
That is sleet, snow, or half rain and half snow, but it is falling here in Northfield, Minnesota, and I would highly recommend that you're cautious when you get to stop signs particularly, and when you stop and take off. Paul Bowmaster is my guest here this morning. Paul is district attorney in Dakota County and the former main man as a district attorney of Rice County, and we are chit-chatting about different individuals, and we talked about Tom Neville and Jerry Wolf and Bill Johnson, and excuse me, what? You can tell me,
Bernie.
Oh,
Bernie.
You know, well, you know, I forgot about him.
He's
out.
Forget him.
He's out in Portland now.
I heard that he's now moved out there. That's great. Great for him.
And thank you for reminding me when I first came to town, or when he first came to town. We were JCs together for many years. And, Bernie Berean, heck of a guy. And do I have a story about Bernie? I probably do. But moving along here, when it comes to defense attorneys, I don't know why, but somehow I got the impression that the best defense attorney in Northfield, the late Peter Schmidt, would I be close in your opinion? Because you had to.
I'd agree. Peter was a great defense attorney.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of others, but I've had too many lawyers in my life. You know,
want to slight any of them.
No, well, I do all the time, and they know I tongue in cheek. They have better jokes than I do.
Absolutely.
What I was going to say is that what was I going to say? Come on, help me out.
Well, I really do appreciate defense attorneys. I would much rather have a defense attorney on a case than somebody trying to represent themselves. It puts me in a position where I really have to watch out for their rights as well as prosecute the case. And you know, it's a lot easier to deal with somebody who's represented, because I go through their attorney. Their attorney knows, you know, the rules, knows what the process that they're going to be going through is. So for me, I would any day rather have a defense attorney on the other side than a pro se person. And I think it's important. I mean, we have a system that you can represent yourself in, and you have done it, and you can be successful in it. But if you have serious criminal charges against you, or even a civil case against you, you're better off having somebody who is a professional attorney that is trained to deal with litigation than try to represent yourself.
Well, because you were the prosecuting attorney in Rice County when I went through that civil trial.
Yes.
And a lot of lawyers stopped in to see what was going on because it was weird. And once again, folks, I was innocent of everything. And I was.
Yes.
Here's the thing that I kind of disappointed me is that I was ordered, her and I, were ordered to have a mitigator. Is that what you call them? A mediation person.
Yes.
Okay. So this person comes in and tries to run the show and charges a ridiculous amount of money. And then when it comes down to their fulfilling their court responsibility, it's exactly where you were before he or she came in and mitigated at like $300 an hour. Then sometimes they charge both sides.
Usually they do charge both sides.
Yeah, it's crazy. Double billing, I call it.
Well, they split their fee usually, but between the two parties. Actually, in the state of Minnesota, you're mandated to do mediation now.
Now, is that a fix to help people make money?
No. It really, it was conceptually brought into play not just to, you know, shorten the court line to make sure that we can process cases more efficiently, but also in our adversarial system, one side always wins and one side always loses. That's the way it's got to be in an adversarial system. You're not kind of guilty or kind of not guilty. It's one or the other.
Hung jury.
Hung jury, you're still going to be litigating. You just go back to trial again. And so,
or dismiss it.
That would be up to the prosecutor to decide, do I want to go forward again or not? And again, that happens sometimes where they say, you know, we went to trial once, we think we'd have the same result, so we're not going to go forward. But the mediation concept, I think, here in Minnesota has been very popular. And I think the reason is that it allows the parties oftentimes to get beyond that anger, get beyond the animosity in the case, and look at what the real issue is. And particularly in divorce cases, I can recall a time when people were fighting over, you know, the croquet set. and you'd go, this is in a district court. We're wasting district court time, two attorneys, a judge, court reporter, clerks, over a croquet set, really? So I think in the context of taking people out of that combative adversarial system and putting them in a position where they could look beyond their anger and frustration with the other side and see what the real issue is through a third party neutral, I think it's had a lot of good impacts in our family law area particularly, but also in neighbor disputes. We have the Rice County Dispute Resolution Center here that I think has done a great job in taking people out of the court system, which is helpful in freeing up the calendars, but also I think helpful from a community standpoint of helping people get beyond, you know, he won or she won, and okay, what's the real issue here? If it's a property line dispute or whatever, what's fair? Because I think most rational people want to be treated fairly, and when they feel they've been treated fairly, even if they don't get 100%, maybe they get 60, maybe they get 40, I think at least they walk away saying, okay, that was fair, I can live with that property line now, or I can live with whatever property distribution in this divorce was because I was treated fairly.
Is it true that people will say that if both parties are disappointed in the settlement, then you did a good job?
It was probably a good settlement, yeah. There typically is never a 100% win on any side, even in litigation. As you know, the sheer process of litigating costs.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The minute the lawyer from the Twin Cities gets in his car, you're on the clock, and then you get charged for mileage. Oh, well, 11 minutes after 10 o'clock, a very nice guy, Paul Bowmaster, is my guest here on KYMN Radio. And I have to say, your demeanor has always been such a pleasant experience. And I have never seen you argue and prosecute. And I'm thinking, you know, he's such a nice, pleasant person. Do you get downright dirty? Or you know what I mean when I say that.
No, I don't usually get it. You know, my job is to present cases to juries and present facts to them and to do it fairly and to seek justice in every case. And so for me, it's nothing personal. And I mean, there have been occasions where I have raised my voice in closing arguments, but that's very seldom. I think once was with Tom Neville. I can't think of more than one or two cases where I've had to, where I've been truly angry by something that the defense attorney or the defense had done that I felt required more of a passionate response. But otherwise, I'm pretty level in my presentation in cases.
Were you, at 16 years you spent in Rice County, were you there when, I think his first name is Jeff, went down to Winona?
Yeah, I came in after he had been elected in November and I think appointed to the bench in December, and I came in after he was in 1999.
What's
turn
his?
Of the century, Jeff Thompson.
Yeah, yeah, his dad was...
T. Eugene.
T. Eugene Thompson from Highland Park.
Yeah, I think Jeff is just retiring now, too.
Yeah. And do you know the story?
Yes, I do.
About T. Eugene? Well, as a J.C., we went to Stillwater Prison on a project that we were working on. And I was seated there listening to the state J.C. director of Honey Sunday, it was. Honey Sunday, where we went to all the churches on Sundays after their permission and sold honey. And it was a good fundraiser. So I'm listening to the state chairman of the whole thing talking, and it ends up, to make a long story short, which it won't be, T. Eugene Thompson was seated next to me, and we were chit-chatting.
Oh.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know who he was. But I'm from St. Paul, and so that murder of his wife in Highland Park was, you know, big deal.
News.
Yeah. So then when we're getting all done, I'm talking to this great big guy and prisoner. And he was the chairman for Honey Sunday in the prison, however they did that. But if they are in a project that serves the community and helps them, they are released from prison to go to various meetings and stuff, right? Yeah.
They can be, yes.
Yeah. So I asked him, I said, could you come down and talk to our chapter on how your chapter is going to do this? And he said, I can't. And I said, well, I know that sometimes when you're in a project like this, you can, you know, get permission to leave for a day. And he said, well, not me. And I said, well, I can talk to the warden or whomever. And he said, hey, Wayne, I'm in here for a double murder. I'm not going anyplace. I said,
yeah, it depends on what they're in for.
Yeah.
Like Faribault is a medium security and low security prison, and they will have work crews that go outside the wire because they're near release. It's a release facility as well. So to escape from Faribault is really a bad idea because you were near the end and now you're going to have an escape charge. And I had a few that I prosecuted for escape out of there.
How'd they get out?
Some of them just walked away when they were outside the wire.
Oh, okay.
Because they could.
Outside the wire.
Yeah.
That's a neat expression. Do you know the warden down there, or they changed frequently?
I'm not sure who's down there right now.
Okay. Well, I would like to interview the warden.
I don't know if he's still the warden, but I can give you that number out there.
Okay. I had the warden of Oak Park, is it?
Oak Park Heights.
Yeah, the one that's is for the...
Maximum security.
Yeah. He's an author, but he was warden at Oak Park Heights, and I'm not coming up with...
One of the few prisons in the world where no one has ever escaped.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, I heard... Have you been in there?
Yes.
Is it reasonable living there, or they all put in one cell and get an hour a day and all that?
I wouldn't want to live there, but it's clean, and I mean it's not a dungeon. It's humane, and they have their own hospital ward there and everything. So it's I wouldn't want to be there,
no.
But if it was between that and a Turkish prison,
okay.
I think I'd rather have Oak Park Heights.
You just reminded me of a movie, The Midnight Express. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
You know, I got to tell you about that show. What the opening of that was so tense. We're talking about a movie called Midnight Express, and I don't even know who the people were acting in it. But it was so intense, this guy trying to smuggle drugs from Turkey to the United States, wrapping it in his body and going through the checkpoint. It was just tense. But the last scene is the one, another one I remember, is that he overcame a guard. And this is supposed to be a true story, by the way. Remember, he overcame the guard? Well, the star of the movie was probably 5'10", and the guard was like 6'2", or whatever. And he escapes, and the sleeves are the proper length, and the hat fits him, and the pants fit him. And I'm going, Hey, man, had this...
he had a tailor do that before he left.
Yeah, okay. At 18 minutes after 10 o'clock, thank you for joining me here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. I have surprise guest here this morning, Paul Bowmaster, a surprise to Jeff and Terry and others, and I really appreciate you.
Surprise me.
Yeah, and it's your day off because you're a government employee.
That's right.
Okay, do you think the lawyers' offices are open? The defense lawyers?
Maybe.
They got a day up on you?
Well, I'll have to catch up.
Okay. What about young people that want to get involved in the law, either as a lawyer or a policeman or a judge or just get involved in the system that we have in America? I know that they have a program at the Northfield High School that I can't remember what they call it.
Mock trial.
Thank you. That's exactly, well, you know that.
I help with them.
Yeah, do you? Okay. Mock trial.
Stephen Cade is their coach.
Stephen Cade.
Yeah.
All right. There's another name you should get me.
He's very interesting.
We'll have to go through your phone.
All right.
But
don't tell him I sicked him on you.
Oh, no, I would never do that because you're going to call him. No. Anyhow, how does that class work?
Well, it's not a class. It's an after-school activity.
Okay.
So, you know, they come in and they do a great job here in Northfield. Senior Cade, as he's called by the kids, does a great job. He really gets them inspired to do their best, and they've done really well over the years.
What roles do they play in a mock trial?
They will be the attorneys and the witnesses. The judges are adults. Volunteers from the community, usually through the Bar Association, they get volunteers to come in and listen to the cases, and then they score them on a score sheet for their witness performance as well as their attorney performance. But they do openings, they do direct and cross-examination, they do their closings, and then they are judged for how well they do each team.
And they have a jury?
No, the judges are the jury.
I get it. Okay. They also have bailiffs, I understand.
Yeah, they're the timekeepers usually. There's time limits that they have to follow and everything. So it's a great experience, and I'd encourage kids.
How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three, one of each?
Well,
that's a joke. And what are their names?
I have my oldest, Sydney.
Sydney?
Yeah.
Okay. And how old is Sydney?
What is she now? 25.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Then after Sydney?
Jack.
Jack. I like that name. Jack. How old is Jack?
Jack is 20.
Okay. Ooh, they're 5 years apart. How about your last child?
Will.
Will? And how much younger than Jack is Will?
Will is 13.
So you have a kid in middle school.
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy, that's just what you need. Well, the reason I ask that is that you being an attorney, and especially a Rice County district attorney, and now associated with Dakota County, have any of your children shown an interest in law?
My middle child, Jack.
Jack. Okay, he's 20, so he must be in college.
Yes, that's why I was down in Iowa for the mock trial competition that he was in.
Oh, okay. Did he do that when he was here at Northfield High?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Did he have an advantage because Dad was a DA?
Not because of that, but I also helped with the coach, the St. Olaf mock trial team. I think he'd come along with me, get him out of the house, and he enjoyed watching them practice, and I think he got to liking it, and then his older sister did mock trial. Here.
Okay. Oh. Now, they have a, I suppose the plum job is to be the prosecutor and defense lawyer. I imagine that's the burden.
Some people like being the witnesses because it's a little more creative. You can
lie.
No, you get to, you have an affidavit. You have to use the facts that are within it, but you can give it your own personality.
I happen to see a script, if you will. And I was amazed at how deep it goes in the witnesses program.
Yeah,
and all that. And I was told that okay, we have to use this structure, but we can do it with our personality. So I would imagine the fun part of being in there is to be either the prosecutor or the defense attorney.
It's the more technical part where you have to know the rules of evidence and procedure. So yeah, I mean that it depends what you like to do. There are people that when I was coaching at St. Olaf that did it for the acting. They wanted to be a witness. That's what they enjoyed. And then there were those people who were pre-law that wanted to be the lawyer because they wanted to learn courtroom procedure and rules of evidence and start, you know, their process of developing their career as an attorney. So, I mean, it depends why you're there, which one you really want. I mean, the people who are there to be actors generally wanted nothing to do with the lawyer side.
Okay. I know it's, is it voyeur? Or what is that when, it's a French word to, when you...
Voyeur?
Voyeur. Voyeur is when you're selecting a jury, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So in...
Voir dire, it depends on how you want to say it.
Oh, really? What does the word mean?
It's just to inquire.
Okay. All right.
And it's basically
seeking... Is
that
Latin or is that French?
I believe that's French.
Okay. So what about your kids? You have two that one's in college, the other one is out of college. Did they take it up in college after high school?
Jack did. Sid did not.
Okay, and how different? Well, you were an instructor or a go-to person up at St. Olaf, so
yeah.
And your kid Jack would go with you. So I suppose when he got, where is he going to school? Luther?
No, Cornell College.
Cornell. Okay, used to be in the.
Yes, Carleton we used to College. Compete against Carleton. Yeah. I went to Cornell as well.
Oh,
so
really?
I ran up here and swam up here on occasions.
And you live here.
And now I live here, yes.
Isn't that great?
I grew up just north here, though, in Lakeville, so.
Okay. Even always? You never lived here?
In Northfield?
Yeah.
Not growing up. We'd come down here shopping. Well, when I grew up in Lakeville, it was very small.
Yeah. But you did move to Northfield.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and raise your family here.
Since 1999.
Yeah. Okay.
Turn of the century.
Wow, good. Every time I hear 1999, you know what I think of?
Song?
No, I think of my wife, because she was general chairman of DJJD in 1999, and again in 2000.
Okay.
So technically it's not two different centuries, but it is two different centuries.
Centuries, yeah.
So Jack takes us up at Cornell?
Yeah, he did.
And they compete regularly?
Yes, they do. They just got out of regions, and now they'll be doing the opening preliminary rounds for nationals in Geneva.
Do they do that on a D3?
No, there's just one. They compete
Notre
against.
Notre Dame can compete against?
University of Indiana, Illinois. Iowa, University of Minnesota. They were competing against them
so
in the regions here.
Gauntlet?
Yes, just this weekend.
And they won.
I don't know what place they actually finished. I haven't gotten the word yet on that, but they did. I did find out that they advanced, so they were at least in the top teams.
So you followed Jack to this particular event, just like a father or mother would follow their kid to a football game in college.
Sort of, but I was also recruited to be a judge. So,
how does that work when you have a kid in the competition?
You hope you don't have to judge every round, and I only had to do three out of the four rounds, so I did get to see him one round.
How long is a round?
They run 3 hours, and then they have the all-lose. If you go over that three-hour time limit, then everybody gets a zero for those ballots.
Okay, so the penalty is if you go over, but if you want to do it in an hour, can you?
That would be pretty quick.
Okay.
They run anywhere from 2.5 to 2:45. They're pretty strict on the time limits, so they follow those pretty closely. And they have, again, like in high school, they have the bailiffs also as the timers that keep track of where you're at in the trial, and I can look over as the judge and see where we're at.
It must be like watching a play.
Yeah, and it's the same play, though, every time.
Oh.
But you do see a lot of different spins on the case, which is interesting.
Are they criminal cases or are they civil cases?
Yes. Okay. They switch year. Every other year. So 1 year it'll be criminal, next civil. Criminal, okay. Civil, criminal, civil.
Do they do high felonies?
Usually they're like attempted homicides and
attempted
arson, things like that. Okay. Yeah.
Arson?
Yeah.
That has to be tough on arson.
Well, actually, the way they write the cases, whether they're civil or criminal, they're always tough cases for both sides because they put enough in that it makes it a close call. That's why they have good arguments on both sides.
How about in real life when you're a DA in Dakota County or when you're we're the DA in Rice County? Is it all circumstantial evidence or do they really come up with some really good evidence?
We sometimes have really good firsthand. I saw him stab that person, or I saw him with the drugs, or you know, okay. We have confessions. I mean, no, we usually, one thing that has changed over the years since I've been prosecuting is the quality of the recording devices we have, and that has been very helpful to resolve cases quickly, particularly like in DWI cases where the guy swears up and down, I was fine, there, I wasn't weaving, my speech wasn't slurred, I walk that line as straight as anybody. And then I give the discovery to the defense attorney, and they sit down with their client and play the video. Or then it's not video anymore; it's CDs, but electronic recording. And there they are, you know, swerving all over the road from ditch to ditch, and you know, their slurred speech. They can't hardly stand up, and you know, usually the person at that point goes, well, maybe I was a little more intact than I thought.
So as a prosecuting attorney, you are for body cams?
Absolutely. The more recorded incidents we have with, especially with the interaction of law enforcement or for cameras, quite frankly, it's not just body cams where we get a lot of our good footage. I had a drive-by shooting in Dakota County that I was doing, a drug deal gone bad, and I had some great video from the gas station where it occurred because of the high-definition cameras we have.
We have an interesting story you're going to tell after the break.
Oh, okay.
And everybody will stick around like, drive-by shooting? Really? We have them in Minnesota.
The Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual Insurance Agency would like to welcome everybody to the city of Kenyon for the annual Carriage and Cutter Day Parade. When you're in town, take advantage of all the festivities and the many business open houses. The Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual Insurance Agency is proud to bring this message to you. Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual insures property, personal, life, farm, and ranch. For more information, contact Carla at 507-824-2949. 507-824-2949. Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual Insurance Agency.
FFA and agriculture education provide a strong foundation for young people. As we celebrate National FFA Week this week, Syngenta Seeds of Stanton salutes the Cannon Falls FFA chapter. FFA has focused on one mission, student success. Amazing teachers, integrated education, and exposure to real-world careers make it possible. Syngenta Seeds of Stanton is happy to be associated with FFA Week. For all your seed needs and crop protection, contact your Syngenta dealer.
Are you in the market for a new home or considering remodeling your current home? Schmidt Homes and Schmidt Homes Remodeling should be your first and last call. Schmidt Homes, known for their innovative designs, uncompromising quality and craftsmanship, superior service, while maintaining their reputation of fairness, honesty, and integrity for over 30 years. They're the only builder in the area to offer an in-house designer and a showroom to make your selections. They have over 30 new building lots available in Northfield. Check out their website at schmidthomes.com for more information.
We're Three Links, and we are here for you. I am Sarah Dandel, manager at Three Links Apartments in Northfield. We offer an active, vibrant community for seniors and the disabled. We have spacious one-bedroom apartments, controlled access, off-street parking, elevator, and are handicap accessible. This is a place to call home, make new friends, and participate in many fun activities. Tours are welcome. Call 664-8850.
We have some top 10 tunes on the Wayne Eddy Affair from the year 1981. Paul, Bowmaster is my guest. And Paul, in 1981, this was your number one song, Pop Charts. Name that tune.
Let's Get Physical?
Yep. Do you remember who sang it?
No.
Well, her last name you go to. Her middle name, you eat the figs. And her first name is a town out on 19.
Olivia Newton-John?
Yes!
Took me a while to put all those clues together.
Our guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, and that's 1080 on your AM dial, and now 95.1 FM. I don't think you've been our guest since we got an FM frequency.
No, I have not.
So, you're on two radio stations right now.
Wow.
Okay.
Multi-talented.
We left people hanging, and me, and that is, you had to do a drive-by, a case that involved a drive-by shooting in Dakota County in a gas station. Give us the whole story.
It was simply a drug deal gone bad. These two parties had ripped each other off both ways, and they decided a third time might be a better result. Instead, it ended in a drive-by shooting. And fortunately, it was at a gas station that had high-definition cameras and had great footage, and it helped resolve the case very quickly.
Was anybody injured?
One individual was shot in the leg.
That must have been the guy that wasn't in the car.
That was the guy who brought a knife to a gunfight.
Oh, okay.
Never a good idea.
No.
So, yeah.
Well, is there a gang involvement? I mean, it sounds like a gang.
They probably had, at least one side had some gang affiliation, but they were just down there doing business. It was the proverbial drug deal gone bad.
What community?
That was up in Burnsville.
Burnsville. You have such a huge county.
It is. It stretches all the way from South St. Paul down to beautiful Northfield here.
Yeah. And what do you know the population of Dakota County?
I know it's the third largest county in the state, and it's
in
growing quickly, yes.
Okay. Hennepin would be number one.
Yes, and I think Ramsey's still a little larger, but...
Oh, okay. I think
Dakota is growing rapidly. I mean, just from my hometown in Lakeville, it's been exploding with housing developments.
Yeah.
All the old farm fields I used to work are now housing developments.
Watch this. Are you ready? I'm going to see a smile on your face when I say this. Old Piper Inn.
Yes, I love Old Piper Inn.
That is a place that was the beginning of a little bit of a start of north, of Lakeville going north. And when you passed it coming south, you're almost home.
Yep.
Old Piper Inn on Cedar Avenue. Still the same place.
Yes, it is. It's a great place to eat pizza. I love it.
Did you know that they had one in Northfield?
No, I did not.
Okay. Do you know where... Okay, you get it. You remember, do you know where Mr. Movies used to be?
Down in the strip mall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Northfield Pharmacy.
Yeah.
Was down there. Well, that was the Old Piper Inn. It was a restaurant. And the guy that owned the Old Piper Inn and I went to the cities to buy liquor. And it took us hours. It was a long trip. And he bought all his stuff and brought it to the Old Piper Inn here in Northfield, which later became... Go ahead.
I did not. I knew they had one up north of the cities, I think in Blaine.
Okay. Then it was taken over by, I believe, Ralph Carpenter. Does that name sound familiar? He used to own, and Linda, his wife, used to own the Northfield News.
Oh, okay.
And they opened it up as a Chinese cuisine place. And then he sold that, and then a guy by the name of Marty Thirdblad, and my condolences to the Thirdblad family on the passing of their father, Jack, this past week, 96 years old, and lived his life right up to that. Marty opened it up and competed with the Rubenstein, and that's when drinking was allowed at 18 during that period. And then it became I don't remember it right now. I don't want to work on that. 23 minutes before 11 o'clock. I'll just bring myself up to date on that. So is that the only drive-by shooting that you had? Did you win, is what I should
yes.
say.
Okay. Yes.
Because of the video?
Yes. The evidence was pretty overwhelming.
When I watch television crime shows and they are in the room where they're being interviewed, you know, I go, come on, you know, that's 1980 technology or 1970. But now, you know, inexpensive, comparatively speaking, to have good video.
Yeah, and I think more and more businesses are using it. Like I said, that was not a case of body cam video or squad video, but that was a case of the video from a storefront catching scenes going on out by the gas pumps. You know, and Target, Walmart, all of them now have video surveillance systems that are very sophisticated. And, you know, they do it for loss prevention, obviously, but it oftentimes will catch other things going on in their parking lots. And I think we live in a society now, too, where everybody has on their person a video camera, which is very different than when you and I grew up, you know, with Polaroids where the thing that you got instant
yeah.
video feedback or instant picture feedback. Now everyone has a cell phone, and it seems like the first thing that you see after a tragedy is everybody uploading their video of the events, which amazes me that, you know, you're involved in a shooting. I think it was out in Las Vegas. The videos that people were posting of real live time, this guy's shooting at me, and you got your phone out recording. I think that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But that happens more and more, and I think we see a lot more evidence coming into our criminal justice system that are being taken by the amateur person with their camera just saying, you know, this looks like something we should record. You know, oftentimes we see them on the case of a police shooting or whatever where somebody watching it is recording it as well. And you know, we've had many instances where those street recordings by people, just eyewitnesses taking the video shots have
Rodney
been used.
Rodney King, perfect yep. example. First example, almost.
Yeah, and, you know, that was, again, just people on the street catching that video.
Yeah.
But with the body cam, you get a different perspective, though. You get the perspective of the officer, particularly if it involves an allegation of the officer, you know, wrongfully shooting somebody or using force inappropriately. You get the feedback of this is what the officer was facing rather than somebody's video from 20 feet away where it may look like, well, he could have done something differently. So I think body cams will always help establish what happened at an incident.
Have you had anybody prosecuted yet, or did you or anybody in your office prosecute anybody for using the new technique, the flying cameras, drones?
No, I haven't. But that's another example where there's people with cameras out recording. It's a brave new world with technology that we have and how people are using or abusing it.
Because, you know, eventually there are going to be people that are saying my privacy is being invaded because you can put that drone in the air and park over somebody's backyard that fenced in, you know, or whatever, and cause an accident. Of course, that'd be civil, I suppose, but I imagine that's coming.
Privacy, some people think, is dead.
Okay.
Just because of the world we live in.
You know, you get all this information how people can steal this and steal that through the internet and this and that, and the privacy thing, I'm at a point in my life, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything illegal. I'm not going
right.
to do anything embarrassing. I'm not going to do anything at all that I would say, gee whiz, I wish I wouldn't have.
It's the advantage of having a boring life like I do.
My life is not boring. It really isn't. I have interviews like this, which I totally enjoy and look forward to. Only part I don't enjoy is finding guests and the initiative to do that. But, you know, I'm bold, and I'm the Peter Jesse James Day Committee. I'm on the board of directors.
You know a lot of people.
City.
You can always fill the time with somebody.
Yes. That's my enjoyment. If you just tuned in, my guest this morning is Paul Bomester. He's an assistant district attorney in Dakota County, and we'll be back with Paul in just a moment.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolabucker Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
Vasa Spring Garden Mutual and Grinnell Mutual are proud to support all of our local FFA members. They've protected local farm families for decades with quality insurance coverages, backed with friendly local service. Mark Showquist and Jim Nelson from the Nelson Insurance Agency in Cannon Falls look forward to serving FFA members with quality insurance protection in the years to come. Nelson Insurance would like to salute the Cannon Falls Future Agricultural Leaders during National FFA Week.
Number two in 1981. One of my favorite songs.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise, her hands are never cold.
Here comes the title.
She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music.
She's got Betty Davis eyes.
She's got Betty Davis eyes, and it's performed by. Twice. I'll give you a hint.
Right.
What do we call our nickname, KYMN?
Kim.
Kim Carnes.
Carnes.
Our special weather reporter is in studio right now, and we're going to go to him, and he's going to give you the current weather situation. Paul Bomester.
Snowing with winds out of the north.
It is snowing pretty good, and it is slippery, and please be careful. There's slick underneath the white snow that's covering that. Coming up is the future is now. Artificial machine intelligence is playing an even greater role in our society, and our person by the name of Terry Knight. Now, when I say our, she is our news director here at KYMN, but she does 15 with the author on Mondays at 11 o'clock, and it's going to be a fascinating interview. Just like the one I'm having right now with Paul Bomester, Meister, whatever. If you came over on the boat, it was Bomeister or Bomeister.
Baumeister.
Baumeister. But you go by Bomester.
They were Bowmasters, and then when they when Napoleon lost, they decided to leave when the Prussians occupied them, and it was easier to leave as a Baumeister than a Bowmaster. So,
okay,
they sailed from Antwerp.
Okay, and yet, why do you know that?
I have a brother that is into genealogy. Otherwise, I'd have no idea.
So that means you're German?
From the French-German area, the Rhine.
Okay.
The west side of the Rhine.
Okay. You been there?
No, I have never been there.
Desire?
Not really. I figure there's a reason my ancestors left.
Okay. How about hobbies? What does a guy in your position do for hobbies besides raise children?
I run, and I canoe, and I ski. What else do I bike?
Do you watch the Olympics?
I have watched some events in the Olympics. I haven't had a chance to watch that many, though.
So where do you run to, and when, and how often?
I run around here. I do like the Big Woods half marathon, the Mora half marathon. I did Grandma's last year.
You did Grandma's?
Yes.
All 26?
Well, a little beyond that, yeah.
Really? Well, yeah, a little bit. Okay.
Well, actually, I did. I actually did the race before that too to get their double award if you did both.
Yeah.
I did their 5K the day before.
What does it cost to be in Grandma's?
If you sign up early enough, it's about $75.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad.
And so you entered as a over 50 category?
Yes, I did. actually, I had a foreign exchange student of ours come back Francisco Galicia came back from Ecuador. He had been here when I had been running it, and he enjoyed watching the race. He said, someday I'll come back and run this. And I said, all right, you do that, and I promise I'll run it with you. And he goes, all right, I'm going to hold you to it.
Now, when you say skiing, is it cross-country?
Cross-country skiing, yes. Okay. I just finished the Vasalopet, not this weekend, the weekend before.
And how long is that?
35 kilometers.
Which is?
22 miles, okay. Something like that.
How'd you do?
Something. I finished.
Okay. That's
at my age, Wayne, I just try to finish.
You know, I watch those, I watch the Olympics and watch the women and the men, and oh my goodness, how they must have muscle in their legs and the smoothness of it. It looks swan-like in their appearance, unless they're going uphill.
Yeah.
But
as you get older, though, it's a little harder to be swan-like. The only thing that I've found I've gotten, I won't say better, but that I can still compete with younger people are canoe races.
Okay. Paul Bowmaster is my guest here on Kim, a friend you can count on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Paul, is there a particular market for canoes? I mean, like, we'll get to your bicycling later, but is there one canoe better than another, in your opinion?
Well, a Kevlar canoe is certainly faster than an old aluminum or birch bark.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, they're different makes and models, but usually with canoe races, they go by your category that you're in, aluminum class, non-aluminum.
Okay. I think we tried a canoe competition here during Defeat of Jesse James.
Oh, you should keep doing that. This river is a great river to canoe. It's got some challenging parts to it, but it also has some parts that you can take first-timers on and really enjoy
and walk.
A great day. Well, it depends on the time of year. Obviously, July gets a little low, but it seems like in recent years it's kept its flow pretty much year-round. It's a nice river, and it's a great asset for Northfield and the entire county. And I go up by Goodhue County in Dakota as well. On the other side of the dam in Bilsby is another great area to canoe down to Red Wing. The trail that they're working on for the bike trail is just, if they complete that from Mankato to Red Wing, another great asset for this community that I think is underutilized.
So if you could put up a product in food and drink in Northfield as they're on their way to Red Wing from Mankato or vice versa, and you were the only vendor there and you had choice of what you wanted to sell, what would it be?
Well, I think we're already doing it. We have three breweries now along the Cannon, and actually there's one down in on the Strait now in Faribault too, F-Town, so... My goal this summer is actually to do a brewery canoe quest. Maybe even hit the cidery on the north side of Wilderness Park.
Well, I have done the part that is from Faribault to Northfield.
Well, that's a great stretch.
Yeah, it is. And I came across a big, huge snakes, two of them.
Oh.
And I took a picture and showed it to Dr. George Risgard, who has passed away, of course. When I say of course, you know, everybody does. But
Sooner or later. Anyhow,
he was a wildlife guy. And, you know, I didn't want to get too close to those snakes because I figured they're going to jump in the canoe and consume me. How stupid, you know. But where they were mating is what he said. And it was just this twisting of two big black. When I say big, I'm talking 5 feet for sure. So you're into biking.
Yes.
And do you do the Rotary Club thing?
I have done that. I bike usually with Fran Winchell, the former auditor treasurer.
Yeah.
Now that he's retired, he bikes more than I do. I'm not great on the bike. He's the biker.
What do you ride?
Just a
Husky?
No. Actually, I have an automatic shifting bike because I'm horrible on shifting.
Automatic?
Yeah. I forget what the brand is, but...
I've never heard of that before. That's how...
Yeah, a lot of people hadn't. I hadn't really either, but I found it, and I was like, yeah, this is what I need.
So is it like a 10-speed?
Yeah. I mean, it's got gears and everything, but it just shifts itself.
Hmm. Wow. And
I brought it into the shop over here.
Mics or not mics. I know what you mean. Where Tiny's used to be.
Yes, and they hadn't seen one before, so when they were tuning it up, they're like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, does it change gears based on what do you call it, the leveler or something?
I'm not sure what the mechanism is, but it's
a level, I should say.
I think it's on speed.
A gyroscope?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a thing in the back that twirls that.
Oh.
I think it hits a certain speed and shifts.
Oh, man, that's something.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
You'll have to ride that over to my house when you do the 2 hours for me.
I will do that.
We're going to take a final break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN. And my guest this morning is Dakota County attorney. And his name is Paul Bowmaster, resident of Northfield, former Rice County district attorney.
The producer bringing grain to the elevator, the farmer buying herbicide, the family filling up with gas. As a cooperative, we work together to help you succeed. The River Country Co-op works to make an impact in the community. This National FFA Week, River Country Co-op would like to salute all the farmers and future generations we depend on. River Country Co-op in Randolph, Kenyon, Hastings, Lakeville, Montgomery, and St. Paul, working together to help you succeed.
You'll totally fall in love the moment you taste Subway's 6-inch pulled pork crunch sandwich for just $2.99. Made with tender pulled pork and topped with spicy chipotle sauce and chili cheese Fritos, it's the perfect combination of smoky, spicy, and crunch. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time at participating restaurants. The memories, however, will last a lot longer. Subway, so much sandwich. Additional charge for extras, plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
The Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nurse Strand would like to salute the area FFA members during National FFA Week. FFA is dedicated to making a positive difference in the lives of students by developing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education. For all your insurance needs, farm, home, auto, and commercial, contact the Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nurse Strand.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. Well, the snow blustered through, but now it's lighter. Name this tune, Paul.
Love a Rainy Night.
Yeah, but do you know who sings it?
Watch the lightning when it lights up the sky.
Paul Simon?
You know what
no. I'll give you a hint.
All right.
Hair, hair.
Well, I love a rainy night.
They say here, here in the...
Okay.
And I'm saying hair, hair.
In the moonlight shadow.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Showers wash all my.
His first name is my last name.
I wake up to a sunny day because I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love.
Do you know my last name?
Yes.
Well, that's his first name.
I know. I got Eddie. But okay. I'm trying to think of the last name. Now.
Some people hunt these things and then
cut
off.
Rabbit.
I love a ring.
Paul Bowmaster is my guest here this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. He is currently a Dakota County prosecuting attorney, former Rice County district attorney, and we're talking about everything and anything. And I want to talk a little bit more about some of the criminals that you have prosecuted, and do you ever have fear of retribution?
That's always out there. So I take precautions.
Okay. So, what was the what do you do when a very decent family has a wayward son or daughter that's being convicted of a major crime, and the parents are in the courtroom?
Well, if they want to talk to me, I'm certainly willing to talk to them. I know when I was here in Rice County and I was in Sandy County, I had more opportunities to run into people on the streets and actually know their family members, and you know, I never shy away from talking to them about what's going on in the case or what went on in the case after the fact, particularly if they wanted to, you know, just understand what was going on as far as now what happens to my son when he, you know, goes to prison and when he gets out, or I have no problem talking to them about them because you know what, I would want to know what's happening. And sometimes they're the attorney for the defendant, their son or daughter, won't talk to them because that's not their job.
Oh.
So I'm willing to, and, you know, it's a difficult position to be in as a parent, particularly when, you know, you've tried to do the right thing raising your children, and if for whatever reason they went astray, particularly if it's drug or alcohol related. That's probably one of the more heartbreaking things for parents. You know, they tried to get their kids a good education, get them into the workforce and everything, and then they see their child, you know, spiraling down because of a chemical dependency issue.
In another 2.5 minutes, it'll be 11 o'clock, and Paul Bowmaster is my guest here this morning. And, Paul, have you ever seen physical violence in the courtroom?
Yes.
Can you tell us one story?
Well, one of the, I guess it was physical. We had a, and again, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but he was convicted. He was a well-known person in the community, and it had to be difficult for him to be finally facing the music after being convicted. It was insurance fraud and some other things. So it wasn't. I'm not trying to minimize his crimes, but it was financial. But for him, the loss of status and prestige, I think, was so overwhelming. He actually, at sentencing, attempted to kill himself by taking some pills and stuff.
Oh, for God's sakes. That's in Dakota County?
No, that was down
Rice
here
County?
In Rice County.
Oh, okay.
So that was pretty dramatic, and the deputies trying to, you know, get him under control and prevent him from
swallowing
it. So that...
Has anybody ever looked at you after you convicted them and vocally said something to you?
You know, I have had one individual that actually attempted to do something, and he was prosecuted federally, and he is now doing federal time. But his was more, I think, meth paranoia. And I had convicted him of first-degree meth dealing and manufacturing. So, yeah, I do have had threats made against me. But, you know, I've also had defendants, one of the first-degree murder cases I had, he's locked up the rest of his life. He actually, at the end of the case, thanked me for treating him like a human being and referring to him as Mr. and being fair. He said, thanks for a fair trial.
Well, Paul, when you agreed to join me on the air this morning, you were first saying out in the green room that, basically, what are we going to be talking about? Because you've been my guest before, and how am I going to do 2 hours? In the first 20 minutes, I asked you to stretch out your answers. And I would say that went pretty fast, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You're a great interviewer.
Well,
Wayne,
the point of it is you're in a very interesting position, and you're a nice guy. You're a pleasant person. And I didn't know you were into all of that health stuff, but when I do finally figure out what I can have you do for me, it takes 2 hours. I know that I don't have to worry about the physical ability to complete the project.
No, actually, one of the people that I did work for had me dig holes and shovel manure.
No, no kidding. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right. Paul Bowmaster, our guest here this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. And we're going to now hear Terry Knight, but I do want to say that this is 1080 AM radio for almost 50 years, and also the 95.1 FM from Northfield, Minnesota. It's 11 o'clock.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
The future is now. Artificial machine intelligence is playing an ever greater role in our society. My guest on today's 15 with the author is Austin technologist and inventor Amir Hussain with his debut book, The Sentient Machine, The Coming Age of Artificial Intelligence, which poses the question, should artificial technology be feared or embraced? Welcome to the show, Amir.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You have been into computers since the Commodore 64. What was it that excited you? What did you see when you discovered the computer?
Well, you know, when I came across the first computer that I saw, it was connected to a TV, because back in those days, these home computers didn't come with dedicated monitors. Usually, they were just connected to whatever TV you had at home. And what I saw was that this device, you could just, you know, play with the keys and type things in, and you could control what appeared on the screen. And prior to that, my